Well, good morning, everyone. Okay, that was terrible. I know it's cold outside and you need to thaw a little bit, so we're going to practice. All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Chad!
Yeah, I like it. All right. I want to ask a question, and it's not a trick question. Which of you, before this snow last weekend, were the ones who prepared really well? You went out there and bought everything you needed, probably bought an extra generator for your house. You cleared off the shelves at the grocery stores. You really prepared. And again, I'm talking about being prepared today, so no shame in raising your hand. Who felt like they really prepared this last weekend for this snowstorm? All right, good for you. Thanks for making milk $10 a gallon and water the same price as the price of gold. But you did great. You were prepared. And that's what we're talking about today, is being prepared. And there's an illustration I want to use from 1911, since we're in this cold season, of a race a couple explorers had to reach the South Pole. Now, one of the explorers was a British naval guy named Scott. And he was pretty famous for his time. He had a lot of funding. A lot of people knew who he was. And he's one of the people taking a crew to try to reach the South Pole and come back. Now, he was an experienced traveler in colder weather, and he was going to make sure all of his crew had tight wool jackets. They were going to supply lots of ponies for the sleds. He was ready to go. In fact, he said, if tough times come, we're going to get through it with grit and determination, what he called British pluck. Now, there is another explorer, a Norwegian guy named Amundsen, did things a little bit differently. He was an accomplished explorer as well, but instead of just preparing based on his past experience, he actually went and prepared with the people who live in that climate, who understand how to survive in that climate. And what he learned is that these people wore loose wool, not wool, they wore loose fur coats, and they used dogs for their sleds. And he also set up supply depots along the way. Now, based on this knowledge, who would you have guessed actually made it to the South Pole and back? Amundsen. Right? Because he was ready for the weather that he was actually going to experience. Now, Scott was prepared for the weather he hoped he was going to experience. Does it make sense? And he got there, but he didn't quite make it back. Now, interestingly, even in his diary, he was shocked by the storms that came through and how miserably cold the weather actually got. He says in his diary, "We can't believe the bad luck that we're having with all that we're suffering." And this is where Peter comes in today in chapter 4. Peter says, "Don't be surprised when the storms of life hit." Peter says, this is the way it's going to be. There are going to be times when we struggle and we suffer and we experience pain. It's just a part of life. Our bodies are going to age. Accidents are going to happen. There are things that we can't resolve. But our instinct is try to avoid the pain and avoid the suffering. What we really want to do is insulate ourselves from those things. Nobody likes to have pain. Nobody likes to have suffering. So we try to insulate and push the pain as far away as we can. And so what we do is we try to make deals with the gods of our age. Maybe you've experienced a conversation like this or something like this where we say, "Oh, money, I will worship and revere you. I will spend all my time trying to acquire your riches and your blessings. And in return for the priority I'm putting you in my life, I expect you to push pain and suffering away from me. Now, it may sound kind of silly because we don't actually talk to money, but you've probably had those conversations as well as I have. Now, interestingly, I think a lot of people do that with religion as well, where we try to make a deal with God, where you say, "Dear God, I will worship and revere you. I will make you a priority in my life. I will attend church regularly. I'll drop some money in the box on the way out. And in return, please keep pain and suffering away from me." And we're so disappointed, and we struggle with our faith when that doesn't happen. But Peter says, God never promised that. We are going to have losses that we don't want. We're going to have pain that we don't think we deserve. We're going to have situations that we just can't fix. But what we can do is learn from Jesus, who went through the same things. If Jesus, the perfect human being, who didn't do anything to deserve suffering, if he had to go through pain and struggle and hardship, we're going to as well. But we can learn from Jesus on how to handle it, not just so that we survive it, but maybe we can even thrive through those times. So I'm going to go back to verse 1 again, where it says, "So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too." Now, this phrase, "you must arm yourselves," this is actually the image of a soldier gearing up for battle. He's saying, be prepared. When tough time comes, they're not going to have warning signals that give you time to prepare. Gear up now and be ready for it. And sometimes, friends, the tough times come because of the things we do. Not always, but sometimes they come because we make choices that bring it to ourselves. And he has this interesting phrase, and I like how it says it in the National New Living Translation, the NLT. He says, "For if you are willing to suffer for Christ, you have decided to stop sinning. And you won't spend the rest of your life chasing after evil desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God." Now, sometimes we make choices that are selfish, where we're just trying to live it up in the day and time that we have. And of course, if we make bad choices, we're going to suffer the consequences for it. But Peter says some of you had made choices to follow Jesus, and because of those choices, you're suffering. But he says that's a good thing. Sometimes suffering shows us what we're really living for. And he says, if you're suffering because you chose to follow Christ, that means you put sin out of your life. You're doing things differently than the people who don't believe they are on an expedition past death. And those people may even point out others that have followed Jesus and have passed away, and they said, well, look at them. Their life isn't any different than mine. But Peter says, we know different. Yes, there will be a final storm that comes, but we trust in Christ, who will shelter us through that storm and get us to the other side. And he says these people don't understand that ultimately God will judge. You have to choose now. Be prepared. And that's difficult to do. And I wonder, because Peter's making a big assumption in here. And this assumption is that the people that follow Jesus are prepared differently for life than the people who aren't following Jesus. Because we think our trip is going to be longer and past death. So we're waiting for something better on the other side. But the people that aren't are living for today. And his assumption is that their lives are going to look different than the lives of Christians. Do you hear that in this passage? And I'm wondering, am I preparing enough so that my life does look different? Am I packing lightly? Am I preparing the right way instead of living for today? And he says, listen, you can follow the attitude of Jesus. You can prepare the same way Jesus did. And we're going to go over these things because I think they are critical. The first one is this. He says, have a disciplined prayer life. And I have a little walkie-talkie if you can't see it up here. Communicate with our God. Stay in touch on a regular basis. And going back to our analogy, it's like connecting back to HQ to make sure you are on the right path. Do it regularly. Don't just randomly when you're in the mood. And it's amazing today that we have these smartphone devices that are amazing communication instruments. You can communicate with people a million different ways. And yet we're more addicted to those things than we are to communicating with our Creator, the God of our world, who understands the climate and can help us get past it. Has anybody ever had that panic when you feel like you can't find your smartphone, like you're digging through your pockets, and I haven't checked my notifications in 90 seconds? Someone might be trying to communicate with me. I'm not going to respond to them for a couple days, but I got to see what they have to say. You know, Candy Crush, I might have 5 more lives ready to go. Friends, we have ready access with the God who wants to help us travel through this world lightly. Peter says, use that diligently and earnestly. His second one is to love deeply. We are not on this journey alone. That means learning about other people, understanding where they are in their travels so you can know if they are hurting, if they are struggling, if they are going through some suffering and they need someone to lean on. So often today, in our climate, if people are struggling, we push them to the side because it looks like weakness. The problem is ultimately we too are going to need someone to lean on. We're going to need help. We're going to need healing along the journey. Are there people out there that are struggling that we can do this together? Are you allowing yourself to be known enough that people can love you? And are you listening to people enough that you can know them and know where they're at? And the third thing he says to do is be hospitable. Provide shelter and food to people. Amundsen created these supply depots along the way, and he said Scott could use them as well. He wasn't just saving them for himself and his own crew. When we have a time when God has supplied a plentiful, bountiful harvest to us, are we sharing it? Are we opening our homes and our wallets and our pantries to people who may not have as much as we do in this time and help them along in their own journey? Peter doesn't say, ask them their political stance, don't ask them where they are in the social status, just be hospitable. Provide shelter to people who are struggling. Now, amazingly, Jesus traveled lightly Literally, he didn't own hardly anything. And I think part of that is because his focus was on these three things. He had an amazing communication and connection with his heavenly Father. People were amazed at how close he was to God and asked him, show us how to do this. Show us how to pray as you pray. And he was known for his healing. It didn't matter who you were. He was going to provide help in healing. And then he would have meals with anyone, literally anyone. He would have meals with people who were far from God and people who thought they were pretty close to God. Maybe weren't. He had meals with the rich. He had meals with the poor. He shared dinner and food with everyone. Jesus prioritized these three things. And Peter says, live holy as Jesus was holy. And I think we get this whole holiness thing really wrong. We think holiness is about moral superiority, where we're acting differently. We're not doing these things, but we are doing these things. And that way, it shows people how much better we are. But that's not it at all. God understands the climate of our world. And the way these things help us isn't to look down on other people. It's to help us survive and thrive through the storms of life. This is why he says to do these things for our own benefit and the benefit of the people around us. And Jesus did this so well. I wonder, friends, I wonder if I'm have so much baggage that I'm trying to drag along with me on this journey that I can't focus well on these three things. That I'm so concerned with the material goods that I have, or the social status at my job, or the debt that I had because of bad choices, right? There's all these different things that we're just dragging along as baggage behind us, and we don't have the time to focus on our communications with God. We don't have the attention span to look around and focus on the people around us to pull us along and help bring them along on this journey with us. I think we can just use this last weekend where we had a snowstorm to see, where are our priorities? Was there some elderly neighbor somewhere close to you who needed help? Was there a lonely coworker who is now even more isolated when they can't go to the office? Is there a single mom out there who's struggling with the driveway and getting groceries and taking care of our kids all while working long hours? Where is our attention? Is it on the baggage, or is it on the priorities that Peter lays out for us to live a life that helps us thrive? Now, no one wants to suffer. No one wants hardship and pain, and I don't wish that on anyone, but the one thing it can do is if we have the same attitude as Jesus, if we arm ourselves and gear up and be prepared, is that it can draw us closer to God, and it can show us what truly is most important in this life. I'm going to close today with the very last verse in chapter 4. Because I think he says it so well. So if you are suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right and trust yourself to the God who made you, for he will never fail you. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing.